Welcome back to NALP's Young Professionals Network podcast, Growing in the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professionals Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your hosts today include myself, Skyler Westergaard with Landcare, and Brett Lemke with RM Landscape. And today we welcome our guest, Chad Diller from Landscape Leadership. How's everybody doing this morning?
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, how are you?
Glad to have you here, Chad. Thanks for being our guest today.
I'm honored that I'm on the Young Professionals podcast. I'm going to tell my kids that I am young, despite their comments. Appreciate that.
Yeah, no, we offer it to even the old people that can come onto this conversation, right?
So hey, now you just ruined it.
Yeah, this is official. You can definitely brag to your kids about that, Chad.
Yeah, and I only say that because in your bio that you shared with us, you want me to say the number 25 years ago. So I'm guessing it qualifies you for a lot of good things to be learned today. So
yeah, I hope.
All right. Well, let me share your bio with everybody. Chad has been in the green industry for over 25 years. What began as a means to pay the bills has paved the way for an exciting adventure as Chad has held various roles in operations, sales, and finally landing in a sweet spot in marketing. The most exciting chapter began in 2012 when he was given the opportunity to grow a $13 million full service company into an in-house marketing. Varied challenges prepared him for the launching into the marketing agency, a space a few years ago, as he joined the Landscape Leadership team. Since Chad thrives on constant challenge, it's no surprise in the past 7 years, he went from handling a few accounts to leading the entire team as president of Landscape Leadership. Chad is known for his passion for educating the green industry, his love for video production, and his pursuit for the ultimate corny dad joke. We're going to get some today, Scott. I hear it.
Yeah. Yep.
He's an award-winning writer, international speaker, and self-professed tree and lawn nerd. Boom. Well, this is going to be exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we should start with a dad joke.
I was going to say, we're probably going to have to get that out of the way.
Let's get that out of the way.
Yeah. All right, so a polar bear walks into a bar. And he goes up to the bartender. He says, I would like a rum and Coke. The bartender says, what's with the paws? He said, I was born with them. It's eye rolls. It's how many eye rolls you get is how good the dad joke is.
And that nice subtle pause on a podcast is just going to make our editing team of just him be like, wait, did something go wrong? Did everyone freeze?
Don't edit the pause. You're going to ruin the joke.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Make it longer.
She might extend the pause even more.
I've been experimenting with like the length of the pause. Like I'm uncomfortable like waiting for the pause, but I feel like I need to extend it each time because people just stare at you like, is he rebooting? Like what's going on inside right now?
Well, the pause was long enough, Chad, that I was thinking like, did the joke already happen? I missed something there. Yeah. So
even though we're all dads, we all can fall for it every so often. It works. Chad, just thrilled. I think the bio says a lot. You shared some information too, but I like the storyline for those that see this, or the storyline we could share, the non-traditional path. I mean, you've had a lot of this traditional contractor experience. You've evolved and have started in supporting and creating some really great change happening in our industry. So let's walk us through that a little bit. I mean, there's a lot into that 25 years of experience, but what are some of those highlights that you would pass along to our listeners?
Well, I think first off, I've been thinking about this podcast when you guys asked me to come on here for the last few weeks, because I've often looked back on my life professionally, also personally, and I've seen things that just have seemed to be so random, so disconnected. And then reflecting back and thinking about times in my life where I felt like so directionless. Like I was making good money, I got a better position or a better job, but I just felt so lost. And I thought, you know what? I love my story because it inspires me to just like have a broader perspective and to appreciate just the amazing green industry that we work in. But I thought, you know, like, there's probably people listening to this that, number one, there's a person that they're at that spot right now. Maybe they're at a company and they just feel like they can't go any further. Like, this is kind of all they'll be. Maybe they're just not even sure, like, what is next. They're kind of like, yeah, I've been doing this thing for 10 years and I don't know where I want to go next. Maybe they have like a curiosity about a certain passion or something they like to get into, but just not having an opportunity. And I would hope that as I share my story today, it would be inspiring to those people and give them hope to realize that, like, don't just write things off. Things could be so much better in the future, and just hang on and keep taking chances. And then there's the other side of this where we have people that run companies, whether they're upper management or owners, and they're hiring people, whether it's promoting people from within or finding people that, you know, are applying to your company for positions, to just keep an open mind, because you may not know the next person that is the perfect fit for a role. And you might be kind of limiting yourself by, you know, maybe stereotyping them and putting them in a box, or maybe only looking certain places for certain types of candidates. I'm hoping that either of those people that are listening, that this will be inspirational to them to maybe be a little bit more observant and to think a little bit broader, because I think that we can all find more fulfilling careers and become better companies if we kind of open this up. So I hope my story helps to pave the way for that.
I think that content, that those ideas are going to resonate with a lot of people. Whether you're younger in your starting out your career, younger in the profession, or maybe you're at the mid point where you're like, okay, I'm just going to ride this out and maybe I'm happy and comfortable where I am, but want some more, but as you said, not know where that is. Or again, as you said, with the company ownership and stuff, I mean, take us back a little bit, maybe to lay a little bit of foundation with the audience. You studied music and pastoral and Bible studies and counseling, and now are, you know, a leader in the landscape industry. Kind of to walk us through that path for you, and let's build a little foundation for our audience.
Talk about a setup for a bad dad joke, right? I mean, like what, you know, a pastor, a musician, and this walks in a landscape, walk into a bar, right? Yeah. You know, I grew up, in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, Amish country. I am not Amish, in case people are wondering, because that's usually the first question you get. And, you know, I got some opportunities as I was young. Both my parents loved, you know, the outdoors. My mom specifically really inspired me to love for the outdoors, for landscaping. And, you know, she did some amazing things as a woman in her 30s, like laying 5,000 brick around her pool deck. We had hundreds of yards of arborvitae hedges, which of course I was involved with all that stuff. So I had all these opportunities to have my hands on plants and hardscapes as a young person, just trying to make a little extra money to do dumb things that, you know, a junior high kid would do. So that's where it started. And, you know, as you go through high school, you start taking on these different jobs. I delivered pizza. And as I share these jobs, I'm going to talk about the things that I learned that you'll start seeing kind of how they paved my way in this. And I think that's a matter of, like, you have to look at perspective and what do you take from your experiences and apply to your next opportunities. I delivered pizza. I mean, that taught me how to optimize routes. That was before GPS, man. I mean, that was like the map on the wall, the laminated map on the wall, knowing the odd numbers were on this side of the street when you ran north and south and city and all that. And so that really helped. I waited tables a lot. I'm an extrovert. I love, you know, the service industry. It was a lot of fun in high school and college. And man, I tell you what, if you guys have ever hired service industry people for your green industry companies, you know what I mean. Like, there is a certain skill set you get from dealing with difficult people and things going wrong, and just learning how to serve. When I was in college, you know, a lot of us had that experience. You know, you learn how to study something you don't know and test on it and then try to apply that to something else. And I did everything. Like, I sold stuff in home sales. I sold fire safety equipment as a young adult. You learn how to do a presentation, you know, and build rapport with people. I worked for builders, which taught me kind of site planning and logistics and that sort of thing. And then the one that you said is, I did get to be a youth pastor for a certain period of time. And people often think that's like the most disconnected thing compared to marketing and sales and all that. But like for me, I feel like it's like if you take something that people don't really care much about and you teach it to them and you make them realize that it's practical and it actually makes a difference in their life, isn't that kind of what we do? I mean, like all the time, like let's face it, landscaping, a little bit boring, right?
Yeah, sometimes. No, not in the springtime. That's what I figured out, the friendly boring time. Yeah, but yeah, to your point, absolutely. I mean, that, you know, it's the service aspect, and it resonates with me, just that service and that love to serve, the appreciation of what I think the satisfaction of the end result of the happiness between, you know, be it the people or the property or whatever that is, and that just feels just fantastic. So yeah, the commonalities are endless in many of that manner. So you gotta love that service piece. If you just want everything to be transactional, then you're this is not the industry.
Yeah, and like I just had all these other random, that was before I even got in the green industry, like all those experiences, you know.
Yep.
I wasn't even that, you know, like when I was a youth pastor part-time, that's when I first started working for a lawn care company and, you know, learning turf science. And you kind of have that, you develop that pride in your territory and how your retention is and how clients are. And you start understanding that and getting that perspective. And then I got into tree care, which was, man, I tell you what, just expanding your horizons, like so many problems and trying to diagnose them and researching answers. That was when I had a general manager he was like a master arborist, and he pushed like 15 of us to get our certified arborist certification. And that just like opened my mind as far as like all the complexities of, you know, horticulture and the issues of plants. And I had all kinds of random stuff, man. Like I had a sign shop that I ran on the side. It taught me like color and balance and graphic design. And then finally, you know, as this journey kind of round thirds base and I was an account manager, I got to like sell lawn care, tree care, landscaping, pest control, all this stuff to clients. Like, it was just like, I felt like my perspective just kept getting like the blinders. Like you see a horse running down the road and my eyes just kept like the blinders kept spreading. Like I saw everything like in this limited, like this, what's for me, what's in it for me, how am I gonna be better at my job? And I started getting wider and wider. So in account management, like you learn how to manage client expectations. You have to bridge that gap between sales and service and all that. And then, like I said in my introduction, 2012, man, like that was the time it changed. Like I got this shot to do this marketing stuff that I had like a kind of an interest in. And the company I work for, I'm just very grateful that they allow me to do that and to just learn stuff that I never knew before. And to find people in the industry, to look up to and to see what they're doing and just experiment, like try different stuff. And then started writing, did freelance writing. And that's pretty much what led me coming to landscape leadership, which is kind of the last chapter that I'm in right now. Hopefully not the last chapter, but current chapter that I'm in right now. And so like, I tell you what, I'm so grateful for all these random pointless jobs that I had, because now I kind of look back, I feel like maybe that's a luxury of getting older. Like you look back and you realize you're like, man, these things are kind of connected.
I think you use the right word that, or answers a little bit my question, but it's like that curiosity. So you had lots of different jobs and opportunities and you saw different pieces. And obviously many of our listeners are probably going through that, have some of that, but you know, what is it that you didn't, you weren't afraid of taking a leap? Because it sounds like they were pretty diverse and expertise might be new and all those, but what is it that went through your mind to say, yeah, let's try it, let's go, versus those that are rather hesitant or afraid to take those leaps? I mean, what advice would you have in that category?
You can't be afraid. I mean, it sounds so cliche, but you can't be afraid to fail at things. You know, like, I think I had an advantage in some things, like when I kind of, it was good timing. Cause when I stepped into that marketing role, we weren't doing a few things very well. So the perspective I took is like, it can only be better. Like either we weren't getting to it or we weren't trying this. And even if it doesn't work out, we'll still be better off and we'll still learn from it. I don't know. Maybe it's I do realize now that I'm risk averse, but for some reason in these opportunities, I wasn't. Like, I just saw things as an opportunity to kind of learn something new. Nobody else knew it. No one else internally knew what was going on with that. And it was exciting to me. Like, I think one of the things was with my personality is someone tells me, well, no, I don't think we can do that. It just pisses me off. And I go, well, why not? And then I start investigating things. That's, you have to stay curious. You can't just say, oh, okay. Like, I remember I had somebody, I was trying to figure out how to do something with a spreadsheet. Like, this is a long time ago. I hate Excel. And someone said, no, I asked them for help. No, I don't think you can do that. So what did you do? What every person should do, you Google it. And I'm like, yes, you can do that. And then I figured it out. And that's the kind of attitude you have to have. Like, you have to be a little irritated when people say you can't do certain things so that you develop the curiosity to try to figure out how to do it.
Chad, I love that. And in addition to that, I hear when you're talking about your story, not only like the curiosity to try something new, but you also have an ability to, I don't know, have your eyes open. You talked about the horse, you know, with the blinders on too. Like, hey, what I'm experiencing now, I can learn and I can apply it to other areas of maybe of life or your career down the road. I don't want to put words in your mouth. So whether that be running a sign shop or being a youth pastor or delivering pizzas, not everybody takes the time to kind of absorb the learning that's happening there. And it's not just delivering pizzas. I'm learning about routing and how could that apply? I'm learning about efficiencies. It's not just only being a youth pastor, but wow, that the action of teaching and engaging people is applied to other areas. So you're curious, but you're also able to take your experiences and apply them and help them be part of your development as a professional, it sounds like. And I like that I think that's two parts that are important to your story.
You know, the passion and curiosity go a long way. Like, you, man, I look back at 2012, I'm standing in front of a room of like 90 people trying to explain to them why we should be on social media. And they're like, what? And, you know, like, that's way back then, you know, and like, I'm trying to explain to them what we're going to do as a company. And I had no clue. Like, it wasn't like fake it till you make it, but like, I knew way more than they did just because I was passionate about it and I learned about it. And I think that's the problem. Like, people just get so paralyzed with, like, they feel like they have to be at this level of understanding with things before they can do it. Maybe it's self-confidence. Maybe it's just the culture of the organization, but I was just blessed with these opportunities where no one else was learning about it. So I wanted to. And then there were times in my career too, where like people weren't interested in it. I had to make decisions to go somewhere else because I realized I got to the point where, like, if I was going to grow more, that I was going to have to find another environment that allowed me to do that. And it wasn't because it was bad. It's just because that's just was the culture and where we were at. And so, like, you have that hunger, that thirst and curiosity and passion and interest in things. You have to pay attention to that and you have to feed it, because if you don't, then you'll just get distracted and on the tasks that you have to do. The passion just has to pull you in that direction.
So it's a great example of you applying that passion, curiosity, ability to take life's learning and apply it, in that you're a professional, experienced marketing individual, and you don't have a degree in marketing. So
no.
I think that is such a great lesson, is that, and you said it right, sometimes I think the culture of the organization or even society says, well, in order to do this role, you have to go through these specific steps. And, you know, you just kind of, I think, answered the question I was going to ask, is like, how do you get into where you're at, you know, as a president of a marketing company? you know, you studied music and Bible studies in college, right? And you said, it's like, you're curious, you went out, and maybe the question might be is, what advice might you give to others who have an interest in something, but maybe you're feeling that pressure, that little societal norm saying, well, you can't do that because you don't have the right background or the right education, or you didn't go through the right, quote unquote, the right steps to get there.
Yeah, I think that, you know, like, no discredit whatsoever to anybody that's listening to that has a degree in marketing. But I have talked to some people that have had MBAs in marketing that haven't grasped simple concepts of how to connect with readers, viewers, and that sort of thing. And maybe it's not the education that has limited people, but life experiences. So I would say, if there is some, there are many things that can educate you. Like, there's tons of free courses and things online. If marketing is your jam and you're like, I really like this, and that's where you want to grow within the green industry, there's so many free courses online that you can learn things and level up your knowledge. But experience, like, don't discount the experience. Like, maybe you need to go to counseling to learn how to have empathy for people. Well, you don't need to go to school for that. You know, like, that's one, as a man, I struggle with that all the time, having empathy, you know. But like, I realized that as I've done some personal work in my life, that it's made me better at marketing because I understand people better and understand myself better. So I would say that, you know, like, if you feel like it's that certificate that, I mean, don't get me wrong, there are some professions you need to have some training and degrees in, but like, there's a lot of things that you can do by being curious and learning in a different unconventional environment, and don't let that stop you. And if you're at a place that says that's the only route, you probably need a new place to work. And just keep looking for something different.
Yeah, I support that conversation around, you know, the environment that you're surrounded by, and how does that sort of just spark and sort of feed that curiosity. I enjoy it when I hear those that have it as a values within their organization. I think that really, and if they believe in it and live it to be true. But when you're surrounded by that, then you're just constantly challenging each other, and there's never not necessarily an easy day, but the days are rewarding in the fact that we're going to solve something here rather than just say, well, this is how it always is, and this is how it's always going to be. And I've watched even my own organization. I'll turn that upside down too many times, and they'll be like, what year are we actually going to do this the same way twice? And it's like, I'll talk out of it. I'm like, I don't know, is there really one way? But it's that constant drive to say, can it be better? What's going to be different? Now the environment's changed, right? There's these pandemics. And so what we did before and something like that, and versus after, all those things have influences. And so, or even just as, you know, whereas you grow in your career, like, I used to love doing this, I don't like doing this so much anymore, I want to do it in a different way. So nothing stays still. Surround yourself in an organization that supports that and allows you to either grow or just keep pushing those limits. I think it's essential, at least in my belief system. I cannot stay still for very long. I don't want to still stick with the status quo. I want that hunger to always be around me.
Yeah, I think what you said about, like, make sure you're an organization that supports that, that's where it comes back to company owners and executive leaders. Like, you have to recognize the people in your organization that aren't rowing in that same direction. So say you have somebody that wants to learn this new task or new skill or whatever, you have to support that person, and no one can be going against that person's initiative to try to better themselves and better the organization. Like, if there are healthy things and positive things they're doing, because if, number one, if you don't recognize that person, that they're going out of their normal job description to try to learn something and to do it, if you don't celebrate it, if some people, let's be honest, some people might mock it or, you know, or like make light of it. Like, there can't be any of that. Like, you have to, like, have a culture where, like, you as a leader recognize that for the huge thing that it is, because there's, you know, it's like 20% of people that would actually, like, take initiative and to, like, really grow on their own. And you can't let anyone else in the organization undermine that passion. If it's distracting from their core job and they're not doing their job, that's another thing. But like, you have to be hyper vigilant to make sure that your people that are growing and developing are supported by everybody, their peers, the people that report to them, the people they report to. That has to be recognized, and you can't let them like undermine it or unappreciate it. Like, it's fine if they don't say anything, you know, you don't say anything good, don't say anything at all, but you have to be really careful with that. Cause I see things in my path, like for me, my personality, I don't care if people appreciate me. I'm autonomous, man. Like, if this is my goal, that's what I'm going to do. But there are a lot of people, man, they need to have that. They need to have the feedback. And if they don't, man, they just shrivel and they think that what they're doing is silly and dumb and it's not going to matter. And so that's why it's really important as a leader to make sure that that organization, not just you, everybody understands how important that is to grow those people.
So how best would you share that story, you know, as an organization? And I think about what you do daily, and, you know, there's the external and then there's the internal space of that. How best is those are those stories shared?
Man, I think you have to have somebody that's really, you know, it has to come from the top. So hopefully the top leader or leaders can recognize what it is and maybe summarize and say what it means to the organization and all these other people, and recognize what initiative that person has taken, where they feel that it's going to benefit the organization. Like, it just has to be communicated. It has to be, you can't minimize it. Like, you have to like almost shoot a little higher than what your normal reaction would be. And when you're sharing, you'd be like, hey, I'm totally proud. Like, you have a company meeting. I'm totally proud of this person because they've done this thing. And this was something we talked about. And it's something that's been really hard and stretching for them. And they're doing this. And this is why it's important, because I can see how it's impacting them. This is how it's impacting me. This is how I believe it's going to impact you. And if you make a culture where you're doing that regularly, a lot of people will stop minimizing the little things that make a big difference. And they'll start appreciating it, because there are people that need that feedback, man. I mean, like, they need it. They're not going to continue. They need to have constant recognition for that. And not like in an ego way, but like that's like the fuel in their tank. A little bit goes a long way.
So great advice, you know, and for company leadership and owners, I think there's the risk that you shared, like, hey, that person could shrivel up or feel like, hey, I shouldn't be doing this. The other thing is that if they're really passionate people, they're going to go somewhere where they can be nurtured in that. And then you may lose a potentially talented person to the competitor, to somebody else. So I have to ask, Chad, about like the other side of that. So if you are the person then that has some interest and some passion and wants to do that, you know, you said earlier in our conversation that, you know, to hang on, to take chances. And what advice might you give, or what thoughts you have about if you're that person that's trying to do something and trying to kind of stretch a little bit, when do you hang on and with your current position or current opportunity? And when is it maybe time to find somewhere else where there's a little bit more viability for that to happen? If that makes sense. That question is I didn't ask that question very well, but I hope you understand what I'm getting at.
I think I know what you're getting at. I mean, I feel like we all have this tension where like we want to do certain things and a boss limits us to do them. We want to do things, but it's just not the right time for the company, or maybe there are other priorities. And we all have setbacks and like minor frustrations. I think if you get to the point where you feel like your overall passion and drive is being so damaged by the roadblocks you're hitting, then it's probably time to start looking for other opportunities. You know, like, you have to be okay. Like, sometimes, like, I had a boss that in the past used to tell me, he told me one time, he said, you kind of seem to have a very heightened sense of urgency on certain items. And, you know, like, I felt like they were important, and they were important, but they weren't always like the most important things. So I was like, man, you talk about like me when I have a blocked goal, Like, I'm like a dog with a bone. Like, I want to get it done. I want to get it off my plate. I want to move to the next thing. But that's maturity. You have to kind of recognize when you're like that tension where you're like, okay, I'm going to be all right with this. I'm okay with this amount of tension or these things, not my ideas not being accepted or whatever. But if you get to a point where you're like, I'm stuck, like this is not going to change. I've given this like a lot of time, you know, like a year, 2 years. This really isn't going to change. I'm never going to get out of this position. I'm never going to get another opportunity. I'm never going to be able to do these five things that I want to do. I feel like that is the time. And like, you're always going to be somewhat unfulfilled, but you're going to have this time where you're like, this is sucking the wind out of my sails. Like, I can't keep going here anymore. And it's not because the place is bad. It's just because it might not be a good fit anymore. Like, you may have helped that organization to a certain point, and you might have grown past what they have capacity for you to do. And you just have to start looking. I think for me, like, I didn't look for a job for a long time. You know, like, I just grew with the company and kind of progressed through positions. And I actually had a recruiter reach out to me for a job, and I was looking, And that just sometimes, like, just seeing other opportunities make you go, huh, really? They would actually consider me to do that? No, I didn't get hired for the job, but that it created like a dissatisfaction in me. Like, maybe I don't want to just lather, rinse, and repeat every year. Maybe I need a bigger challenge. Maybe I need to push myself a little bit more. And I'm, like I said, I'm very grateful for the last place that I came from, because they helped me get where I am today. But like, it was at that point where like, it was probably just time for me to move on to something else. And it's hard to narrow it down to when that is, but I would just say when it starts changing your attitude and your passion, it starts stealing it away. That's when you got to go.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer, right? That's a tough question, because there's not a black and white. It's not mathematical, but it's a balance between holding on, you know, not giving up or flying to the competitor as soon as there's a bad day or a frustration, because that happens, but also like not holding on too long. If it's, you said it well, you know, it's taking the wind out of your sails, and it's, and maybe a word would be more chronic, you know, that it's time for a new chapter or something. I appreciate your thoughts. I think those are valuable.
Thank you.
Well, and I'll add just that conversation. So then you put the two people in an organization that are really working through that. So, you know, the boss employee relationship there, it's just, how do you handle those conversations? And for me, it's just the idea that communication, if the employee has to be able to articulate how they're thinking, the boss, and I'm not a big fan of that word, but that boss has to be asking the questions, constantly engaging to say, where are you with that? Because we've all been in situations where someone says, I've got a really great idea and I really would like to go through it, but there's some holes in the idea. And so you could just right there, shoot it down. Some people shoot it down and it deflates that person. You could ask them to get more information and sort of hold on. But you know, it's all about that relationship that goes through that. And so you cannot, and it's both sides sharing that, you know, I feel stuck moment isn't me saying I quit or I'm going to quit. It's just saying I feel stuck. Talk through that. Maybe there's a solution on the other end. Maybe there isn't. You know, we think so linear. Well, you're an account manager. You're always going to be account manager, or your next thing you're going to be is a branch manager, but maybe that's not how this works in this, your path. And so it resonates. And if you find the talent, then you work your butt off to keep that talent and you do everything you can. And it works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. Things change a lot, but it's a curious path. And you know, what we've shared, and Skylar, you're in this category too, is you two have gone very different paths and created, and you know, I think you're in a really happy place with your careers right now. And there's challenges when you leave something, there's risk, and what's it going to be like, and how's it going to be? But here you are on a national podcast. I mean, talking to, I think we're up to trillions of people now. So
yes.
Yeah. I'm in the audience or the, on a panel with greats right now.
Yeah, that's it. If I could shift our thinking to the external space and it's telling the story of a company to those future prospects and those clients, right? I mean, this conversation here sounds really great. And how much value does we care for our people, we treat our people with respect, how much does that have value to the external versus we do landscape services, we do tree care services, mm-hmm. we will mow that grass. I mean, what kind of stories right now are the best, and to your point, the word marketing, but what are the best ones to be sharing to the external client?
So you're saying prospective clients, what are stories that resonate with them?
Yeah. I mean, we all go out there and we hand a business card that says our name, or we have a brochure that shows our work, but this conversation is like, you know, is it matter? Are people asking, I want to hire companies that take care of their people, or are they saying, I just want to hire a company that will mow this grass or trim this tree? And so in all the research you've done and in the storytelling, and I enjoy seeing how you present companies through your pieces, but it's just, what's the best strategies right now out there to get people to buy into what we're trying to sell or trying to share service?
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like I used it already. Like, you have to find a point of connection for what really matters to the people you're trying to talk to. And we often in our industry fall prey to this repetitive mistake where we focus so much on the external solutions that we provide that we ignore the internal motivations and desires of what our clients or team members want. Like, we message about, you know, like, let's make sure we get all the trucks in the video. Let's get all of them on the whole fleet. Let's, you know, show pictures of these completed spaces with nobody using them. All that sort of thing. So, like, when it comes to just messaging in general, connecting with people, prospective clients, prospective team members, people listening to this podcast, you have to find common ground. And you also have to remember that people are inherently self-focused. It doesn't mean they're bad and selfish and horrible. They always look through the lens of how this is going to affect them first. And so you have to, like, put yourself aside, think about what's truly important. So if it's prospective clients, the one big critical thing that we teach our clients about is that you are not the hero in your customer's story. They are. And so you have to step aside and make people see how other people just like them have won and how good they look and how happy they are and how fulfilled they are. And you're just kind of a prop. Like, you're kind of just getting them there. And so a lot of times, you know, like, companies, you know, from a marketing perspective, they focus too much on their authority and their certifications and their awards and all that. And even those things are great and people do like to see them, like, what really impacts them more is to see how much you actually get them, like, what they're actually dealing with, like, how this actually affects them deeply, what annoys them, frustrates them, gives them pride, makes them feel more certain about certain things. So whether you're doing it for recruiting or marketing or all that stuff, like, whether it's words on your page, the shots you do and you create in video, whatever it is, it has to have that person, the audience, at the center. And then if you can show that, like, one thing for clients, we love doing case studies, because, like, you take somebody else that was in that position and they learn to identify with that parts of that story. And they go, I want to be like that. I, that's what I want. And it's not necessarily like, I want a patio just like that. I want my commercial property to look that good. It's about, that guy looks like he is just large and in charge and doesn't even give a crap about his landscape because someone else got it. And he's looking good to his boss, or, like, these people are having a blast in their backyard with their friends. That's what I want. That's what I buy. And recruiting from that side, like, you know, I can't even tell you how many times I go to look at someone's website and they have absolutely no pictures of their team having a good time or looking like they enjoy what they do. The one phrase I say the most on video shoots is, smile and look like you actually enjoy working here. You know, like, people are so hardcore, the sunglasses on, they're just walking, looking all badass. And that's fine. I mean, it is kind of badass work that we do, but, like smile, like, make people like, wow, those guys look like they're having a good time while they're getting some work done. So it's just, yeah, like, you have to, if you want to tell good stories, you have to remember your place in the story. And it's typically not where we put ourselves as brands.
I can appreciate that. It's fairly customized, I suppose, right? I mean, I could think of many customers I would like, prospective customers I would like to be working with, and I could think of all the solutions that they would want us to solve for them. But then, so how do you broad stroke that in campaign pieces? I mean, it does everything under the commercial landscape maintenance or the snow and ice management or residentials, they all have a sort of a general theme to them? Or do you say, no, you just can't fall into these traps. You got to talk to me about your customers, your past customers. And I'm thinking of like the homework after this conversation for our listeners to say, well, what should I know about my customers, and how do I take and sort of pull all that together and spit something out that will help for future customers?
I mean, you have places in marketing, like pages on websites, videos, where you're trying to like briefly touch on multiple things. But what I've found is more powerful is when you find a thread and pull it. So like people are like, we need to make a company video. No, you don't need to make a company video. You need to make like a dozen company videos. And each one of them can be toned and specifically faced on a different facet. So like, if one of the things that people are after is looking good to their boss, you know, maybe you have a case study and that person talks about how, you know, when they have internal meetings about how great your company has made them look. And that's like sometimes with like video and content and written, like people try to like cover too many things. I'm like, when you hear something, just pull that thread. Keep going, because it makes a really laser sharp, interesting message there. And then make another video about another thread. So like there are going to be some of these, the overarching pieces where you kind of want to touch on like the overall motivations, but people try to do too much with one place, you know, like whether it's one section on a website page or one email or one, you know, video, they're trying to like communicate too many things. Don't underestimate the power in just like staying a little bit more focused on something, because that's going to be really impactful to somebody.
That was the pause joke right there. I was going to do it with you, but all right. Yeah. So that's creative. And I was just thinking that through like a couple conversations, and I'm like, that makes sense. And this is just becomes that journey of creating the many threads to pull, and knowing what to do and how to use those kind of pieces and create creative storylines. I love the case study piece. I think those are huge. I myself like to read about those and go deeper rather than the shallow, just sort of basic ideas of pieces. And so, you know, obviously lots of people will come at it from different ways, but how do you really pull those in? Who gets involved is a question ultimately I have there too. Is often an owner probably comes to you, says, hey, I need some marketing pieces. Does it, when you say that, how deep does it go in the organization, or who do you really want the story to be told from? Has there been common themes or something that hits better than others to say it does, you know, should it always be the owner and on that billboard, or should it be the people on that billboard, or should it just be a plant on the billboard?
It, you know, it really depends. We run these things. You're like, we use this account manager in this video, and last year he went out and started his own company, and now he's a competitor. So there is that risk. It's legitimate.
You know, I've seen your face before. That's a different color shirt you're wearing, but yeah.
Crap, we spent all that money and now we got to get them all off the website. So there is that, you know, like you have to recognize that it is a risk. The other part of that too is like, if the owner, everything rides on the owner to be the personality of the company, like you have to make sure you can sustain that. Like if that's where you're going to go with it, there's nothing wrong with that. You can always show people, like, I think having a couple spokespeople in those video narratives or written case studies and that sort of thing is important. And they should be pretty much permanent fixtures, but like I would say, like, from our perspective, we're way more sensitive to that than our prospective clients are. Prospective client doesn't know that guy doesn't work there anymore. He just remembers this amazing story that a customer told that an account manager popped in for 5 seconds in the video and talked about. That's what they remember. So you also have to like understand, like, what are you okay with? of keeping there. Like that whole thing of becoming a competitor, getting arrested for something and having a public story. Like I'm saying these things not as hypotheticals. Like I'm saying these things because they actually happened. And then there's this expensive asset that you created. And now you're like, I shouldn't have chose that person. But I feel like in most cases, it's not as dangerous to choose your team members to do those things as you would fear, but there's a risk in there.
I think it's, you wouldn't bring this up, Chad, but I think it's okay if I do. You know, we're careful on the podcast not to have, you know, companies promote their product and things like that, but you do have a great YouTube channel where I think some of our listeners could find some benefit and joy out of just seeing some of the stuff that you talk about on the YouTube channel too. So go out and Google Chad Diller, find him on YouTube, and there's some really great shorts and videos where you continue to talk about these topics, the marketing piece of it, that I think are really valuable.
Sure. Yeah. And LinkedIn too. That's probably my number one that I'm on. So I post all kinds of stuff to LinkedIn too. And, yeah, you know, my attitude's always been this, like, of course, you know, businesses, we always want to promote and get out there and hopefully land really great ideal clients down the road. But like, I really love teaching people. Like I love when I learn, like that's comes back to the passion. I love learning things. I know the thrill of like when you've learned something and it challenges the status quo and you need to help other people grow. Like that still is at the core of me, whether I sell stuff or not. I just love creating content that make people go, huh, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's pretty good. I don't care if you go and take those tips and go work with another marketing agency. I could care less. I feel an obligation that I need to share what I learned. And if you follow me on LinkedIn or YouTube, you'll see that. Like that's at the core of me. That's what I'm always going to do, no matter what I'm doing.
Well, like you said earlier, this could be the last job or end, but right, but in a very positive way. And so that kind of impact could be really exciting. Sounds like you're not going to go back to working in the pizza place industry or anything. I think you're going to stick with us for a little while.
Maybe if I play the lottery and win it, you know, one of these times, maybe I just will deliver pizza for fun.
You win the lottery, you get on a mower and you just mow the biggest fields, right? That's what everyone always says to me when they want to retire. Yeah. Oh, can I just get a job just mowing that field for you? Sure.
You can have one today.
Retirees. Yes. Yeah.
I have said that many times, Brett, like, yeah, I could just pay me your like minimum salary or not even salary, like whatever the lowest wage is in the company. I'll just put me on a riding mower all day and that's what I'll do. Well, not all day. I'll be retired. So it'll be like 20 hours a week.
Yeah. Max. There's the piece where every retiree is like, well, isn't it just working 4 days or 2 days a week? Can I just work when I want to? He's like,
I don't want to put in the 50 or 60 hours.
Yeah. No, morning and night, you're going to go. You got to go. So we're going to come up with a fun story for retirees in this industry. Here's how you can make a successful path after. Well, and it's what I wish for everybody is that you retire within the industry you love. And by all purposes, this green industry is an industry you can retire in and have a great story that you hopefully can share. And like Chad, I appreciate what you shared with us today. Really, really helpful. And a little bit about you, your philosophies, a little bit of the marketing piece. I think we grabbed it all today. So we end with Rose and Thorn, and we ask what's been going well and what's been just sort of annoying. We all jokingly had a different experience with the eclipse that happened yesterday. You all saw amazing things and I got disappointed with a family, but still nonetheless pretty wild. Chad, what Rose and Thorn, day, life, year, month, whatever you got, personal, professional.
Oh man, there's so many good things. I'm trying to think of something bad. I'll try to do that. Well, I would say this. I am really blessed to have a really great team right now. People are totally stepping up and stepping into their roles and growing and really becoming more self-sufficient, which is just great because I love to have my hands into things and I have to constantly be telling myself to like, all right, just let them do it. And like, it's really fun to watch our team really take care of our clients so well. So I'm very, very grateful. That's definitely a rose. I would say, I don't know that it's a thorn, but it's definitely going to be a challenge. and this kind of like relates to our topic today, maybe my selfish call to action for people listening. I need to find an account manager, and that is really hard to do for the things, the skill set that I look for. So it's a hard thing to recruit someone that knows a lot about the green industry and also has a hunger and passion and at least a decent amount of experience with marketing. So like, if you're listening to that, I'm probably going to need to hire somebody later this summer, as we grow. But that's a hard thing for me. And it is a little painful because it's hard to look at people and rate them based on their experiences and skill. And like, you're basically trying to gauge what potential this person might have. And like, am I right? Are they going to work out? So far I'm batting 1,000. So that makes me a little scared. The last three hires that we've had have just been fantastic. And so I get a little hesitant. So I'm hoping that that's not a thorn, but it's definitely going to be a challenge.
You're up for it. You're up for it. No doubt about it. Skyler, how about you?
Yeah. I kind of have to agree with Chad. There's just things are going well right now for me in life and personal life and work. So it's harder to get the thorn one. The rose is I'm going to do something. I can't remember if I've talked about this one before, but next week we are taking our middle daughter on a cruise, and none of us have been on a cruise before. So we're excited to take a little PTO. What we do when our kids are 13 or 14 is they get to plan their own trip with mom and dad and without their siblings. Our kids all get along great, but it's an opportunity for them to take a little bit of initiative to plan a trip that they want to do. And there's two rules. It has to be educational and it has to be really fun. So she has been studying the Mayan culture and actually made some videos and taught us around the dinner table a couple nights ago on the Mayans, and we're going to go see some Mayan ruins. So that's a rose that we're looking forward to. No, not a thorn. It's a rose that we're looking forward to next week. We'll be checking that out. As far as a thorn or maybe a challenge, I kind of talked about this, I think, last time, but just, you know, prioritizing the things that all the good things that need to happen. And we are about to start a pilot training in 2 weeks when I get back from the cruise for production managers. It's been something that I've been working on for a few months. It's 6 weeks of training, and we're going to pilot it in three different delivery methods to test out which one we think will work best before we kind of refine it. So not a thorn, but a challenge, something that I'm looking forward to starting, but also, you know, it's a pilot of something new, for a new demographic and things like that. So kind of nervous about it and excited at the same time. So yeah, those are my couple things this week. Brett, what about you? What's your rose and thorn?
You know, thorns are things come in threes. The cycles, right? Whatever you want to call it. We had some highs, and then usually inevitably the superstition in me says something bad's going to fall. And so, and it's been proven many times to me, like, hey, this is great. Things are riding it. And then there comes something. And then there's the down. It's like, geez, when are we ever going to get back up? And here it comes. Here's the opportunities. And so I'm trying to understand that a little bit more, and there's no science behind it. I'm just trying to understand why that happens in that kind of path. And is it something that's being self-inflicting on myself, or we're not doing? I don't know if it always stays high. To your point, there's always challenges. I don't think I have any thorns that just hurt. They're just challenges that you have to work through and you explore. And so it just doesn't allow you to feel the highs for too long, because you're like, something's going to happen here. What is it going to be? And you just don't know, versus and I guess to the point is I don't stay down. I don't think too much about the low spots either. So, but we are embarking on the spring season here. We've been coming off of probably that weirdest annoying winter we've ever had to let's go. Spring could be really fun. We could get going here. We've got some great opportunities, and the team is just poised and ready to tackle this. So, I'm running off the highs right now. Maybe there'll be a couple little bit of surprises on the backside. But that's business ownership. I don't even think it's ownership. I think it's passion for it. When you love it the hell out of it, then you're going to go really fast and hard, and something like this could happen. And you just, you know, I'm always ready for it or prepared for it. But I would like to be on the climb. So each time you just say, where are you in the mountain? I just fell off the cliff, guys. So lost a person, but we're coming back up now. We're going to get back up. So, well, thank you, Chad. Very, very helpful conversation, thought provoking. You know, our listeners, if they're all in the spring mode, are going to hopefully take a moment to, in their very busy days, and maybe this helps bring some thought to, are they in the right path? How do they get on a stronger path? How do they talk more, and maybe a couple of ideas on how to help build their business? So,
can we give them like another dad joke as a parting gift, maybe?
If you got it, you're the guy. You got the best ones.
I was told I could look at the eclipse through a colander. I tried it, but I strained my eyes.
Golly, man.
Yes, very Woo! Good and timely.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good and timely. You probably have like a solid 10 days you can use that until people are like, what the eclipse, yes, what, huh?
That's true.
So have at it. It's not mine. That's a great thing about dad jokes. You don't have to make them up. You can just recycle stuff and you don't have to be funny. It's just about delivering other people's funny stuff.
Yeah. You got 10 days to use that, and then you got to wait another 400 years until there's an eclipse over populated cities again.
Love it. All right, well then we've got a good amount of dad joke conversations that come up for to have you again, Chad. So just keep writing them down, please.
Okay, I will.
Well, Chad, it's good that you were able to spend some time with us today. It's been, as Brett said, an enjoyable conversation. I love the opportunity that I get to just talk to great people all the time as part of our duties on the podcast. And it's been great talking to you. We appreciate the work that you're doing. And we invite our audience to reach out and connect with Chad and continue the conversation if you want to. We always thank our listeners for being with us today. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review or some feedback. And everybody have a good day and take care.